Oh, that's a big number. But just to know what God did in my life in this very room, God is marking many, many more children, including my own, to mark them in this room for His kingdom, for His glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You tonight, God, that You are calling a generation to be marked by the love of God. You're calling a generation of young men and young women who will rise up and represent Jesus Christ to the world around them. You're calling them to manifest the kingdom of God and the love of God, even at a young age, calling them into Your kingdom, that they would show the world what love looks like, that they would show the world what Jesus is like, that they would show the people around them who God is. And Father, tonight I thank You. Even tonight, as I'm speaking, God, You're going to begin to heal people's hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we invite You. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to heal hearts and minds, to heal, to touch any area that was affected by the world, by sin. God, we want to be healed by You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible with you tonight, we're going to read a verse in Ephesians. You might be able to put this up on the screen. It's Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 14. If you have your Bibles with you, flip there. When I'm back in my regular church, they have phones. I tell them to swipe there. No phones allowed at camp, right? Sorry, broke the rules. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, we got a whole bunch of you there. I'm going to give you 1 second for the rest of you to catch up. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. My version says this. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Somebody say, through faith. "That you," somebody say, "me," "being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Anybody in this room want to be filled with all the fullness of God? I think that's why you're here at camp. I think that's why you came this week. Because you said, "God, I want more of You. I want to be filled with You. I want to be so overflowing with You." And Paul here is writing a letter to the Ephesians, but he says also to you. He says, "I pray that you would be rooted and grounded." Rooted and grounded in the love of God. Somebody say rooted. Somebody say grounded. Come on, what does it mean to be rooted in something? Where does a tree get its, where's the life of a tree come from? It comes from its roots, right? If the tree doesn't have any roots, it's dead, right? And God also wants us to be grounded. A tree that's just in aquaponics, how sturdy is it? Right? Anybody know what aquaponics is? My son took aquaponics this year. Aquaponics, where they just grow it in water. They just put water over the roots and then they drain the water away and they bring it back. And there's no soil included in aquaponics. What happens when the wind blows on that tree? It just falls over, right? Because it's not grounded in something. It doesn't have, it's not established in the earth. And God wants us to be rooted and grounded in His love. Somebody say rooted. Somebody say grounded. Okay? God wants us rooted and grounded in His love. And tonight, what my greatest desire is to express to you the abundance of the love of God that He has for you. That you would understand it. Number one, I want to explain, how did we get here? How did we get to this place where we were sort of separated from His love? And number two, I want to explain the healing power of the love of God. I want you to know that the healing power of the love of God is so powerful. I want you to be so rooted and established in His love that for the rest of your life, this would be a moment in your life where you were established and you were rooted, you were grounded, and you never changed from that day on. You couldn't be blown around. Life began to come up out of you because you were rooted in the love of God. Somebody say rooted. Somebody say grounded. All right. So how did we get here? How did we get to this position where we need the love of God? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, right? Everybody knows the story of Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. He put them in a garden, and He said, all right, He says, all you guys got to do is just live in this garden. Eat this wonderful fruit that I've created for you. And if you don't eat from that one tree over there, everything's going to go perfect for you. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have a wonderful life. You, the garden, Adam and Eve, the fruit, everything. Wonderful, blissful, perfect. But He said, in the day that you eat from the tree is the day that you die. Somebody tell me, if I had a bottle of stuff up here and it said, if you eat this, you die, what do we call that stuff? Poison, right? We put a skull and crossbones on it. Anybody ever seen that stuff? Right? You see a skull and crossbones on a bottle of stuff. What does it mean? It means don't drink it. It means don't eat it. Why? Because the day you eat it is the day you... Right? So God told Adam and Eve, He said, listen, this one tree, there's something connected with this tree. There's something about this tree. And the day you eat the tree is the day you die. But death maybe wasn't exactly like fall over, die. It meant separation. Right? One day we're all going to die, right? I haven't seen anybody get off this planet alive, right? So everybody's going to have an expiration date, but we know that when we've been to a funeral, anybody been to a funeral? Yeah, almost everybody in here has been to a funeral. Is that the person in the box? Is that really them? No, what is it? It's their body. Where are they? They are separated from their body, right? That's called death. That's what we reference as death. So here we have this picture in Genesis where God says to Adam and Eve, if you eat from that tree is the day that you are separated from something, something that gives life. Who said it? Who was it? Say it again. Say it louder for them to hear. They were going to be separated from?
God.
From God. That's right. See, the Bible says that God is love, and true life is this, to know God, to know Him. And that word know doesn't mean to understand about Him. It means to, like, be close to Him, to experience Him, to know Him, to be with Him, to be changed by Him, to be affected by Him. God wants us to be that close to Him. It says true life is when you are connected to God. True life. So He told Adam and Eve, He says, the day you eat from the tree is the day that you are separated. It's the day that you are separated from what? Him. From that closeness of the relationship with Him. So we all know the end of the story, right? Well, we thought it was the end of the story. We thought Adam and Eve ate the tree and they're just going to drop over dead, but they didn't just drop over dead. All of a sudden, we find this separation from the love of God. See, the devil came in. How did he do this? The devil uses two tactics, really. Number one, he tells Adam and Eve a lie about God. And we need to understand who God is. We need to understand that He is love. We need to understand that we can come to God and we can speak to Him and we can have a relationship with Him and we can know Him. So the serpent came to Adam and Eve and he says, hey, what's the rule about the tree? And they said, well, if we eat it, we're dead. And the serpent said, oh, that's not true. God's cheating you. God knows the day that you eat from that tree, you're going to be like him. And God is holding out on you. And he doesn't want you to know all the good things that he knows. And he doesn't want you to be like him. So the devil came in and he tricked Adam and Eve. And when they believed wrong about God, that was the poison. That was the poison that separated them from his love. That was the poison that came in into their mind. And all of a sudden they said, wait a minute. God's holding out on me? Maybe God isn't interested in my good thing. Maybe God's not interested in my life. Maybe he's only interested in himself. And they went over and they ate from the tree because all of a sudden they felt like they were lacking. Somebody say lacking. They felt like they were empty. They felt like they were missing something. They felt like there was something more. And they went, and as soon as they felt they were lacking, they ran and tried to fill it with something other than God. And whenever we do that, that's called sin. So Adam and Eve run, and they observe this lack. Oh, I'm lacking. Were they lacking? No, they weren't actually lacking. They just believed a lie that they were. The enemy came in and he tricked them and he deceived them. And he told them that they were cut short and that God wasn't really taking care of them. And it was the lie that came in that robbed them of their intimacy with God. And that poison, when it entered into their minds, became an action that separated them from God. And now we become in desperate need of love. Why? Because God is love. And Paul here in Ephesians says, it is my prayer that you would know the love of God. Well, how can I know the love of God if Adam and Eve lost it? They lost the connection. And you know what? They were cut off in their minds, in their thinking. They were separated from God. The Bible says that God had created Adam and Eve in his image and just like him. That means if you made a shadow of God, he'd be shaped like me and you. He'd be in our shape. We're in the shape of God. I can't make a shadow here. Here we go. Right? That's the shape of God. And we're also made in his likeness, where we have a body, soul, and spirit, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're made like him. That's how God created us. So when the devil said, hey, if you eat from that tree, you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Does anybody know what immediately did the Adam and Eve feel when they ate the fruit of the tree? What did they feel? They felt they were naked, and that came with shame, right? They felt ashamed. They were like, hey, stop looking, right? Anybody else? What else did they feel? Yeah. They felt like they were lacking. Now they really were lacking, right? They really were lacking. What else did they feel? All the boys got good answers today. Yeah. Yeah. Their eyes were open and they felt ashamed of their nakedness. And then the Bible says that they ran away and hid because they were, yeah, they were afraid. Let me ask you this. Does God feel fear? Does God feel fear? No, God doesn't feel fear. He's God. Does God feel shame? No, he doesn't feel shame. He's God. He's perfect. He's whole and complete. And the devil came in and sold them this lie and said, you're going to be like God. They already were like God. They knew the goodness of God. They knew the love of God. They were accepted and they were whole and they didn't have shame in their lives. But when they ate from the tree, because they believed that God was holding out on them, somebody say poison. And the poison caused them to do something that really created a lack. It really created a lack. Now they needed God more than ever. But you know what? We have an amazing God. Do you know that? We have an amazing God. And the Bible says God is love. Somebody say, God is love. And you know what? He didn't get all mad and angry and upset at Adam and Eve. Instead, he said, I'm going to make a plan to fix this situation. He says, you know what? They ate some poison. He says, I know what we're going to do. We're going to come up with a remedy. We're going to come up with something that's going to break down the poison, and we're going to allow them to come back into relationship with God. So what did Jesus do? Even right there, not Jesus, right there in the garden, God took an animal and he killed it and he used the skins to cover their shame, right? Their nakedness, right? And he used that as a picture about 4,000 years in the future. He says, I'm going to kill my son, the Lamb of God. And I'm not just going to cover their nakedness. I'm going to take away the sin of the whole world. I'm going to remove their sin as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to allow them to be completely restored back into relationship with love itself. God. Where's my wife at? She's got a object lesson here for me. Here we go. See this little thing? I took this out of my daughter's cabin just tonight. All right? She sleeps with it. She loves it. This is a little rabbit, right? So this is one of the things I want to, this is an object lesson I want to share with you about poison and how the love of God. Are you ready? I'm telling you guys, when this penny drops, I'm telling you, God's going to start healing lives and hearts. There was a doctor one time that wanted to make a medication for a, we'll just call it a poison, okay, because I don't want to get into all the medical terms. He wanted to make a medication for a poison, and he wanted to test it out. So he went out, and he got a whole bunch of rabbits, right? Poor bunnies, right? They're going to be experimented on, right? But he went out, and he got a whole bunch of rabbits, and they were all the same kind of rabbits so that everything, he would know that his testing was accurate. And he put them in four groups. And then he said, all right, we got to feed them this poison and we have to make them sick so that we can start testing medicine on the rabbits. So they gave them a food diet that was laced with poison. And the poison slowly built up in their system, not to the point that they were going to die, but he built it up and he wanted to poison all the rabbits. And then he was going to measure, so they all got the same food, they were all the same kind of rabbit, they all got this, and then he was going to give different medications to each one and see which medicine worked, okay? Seems a little cruel to the rabbit, but it's good for humanity, okay. So he says to all of his team, he says, this is how we're going to run the experiment, and we're going to find out which medication works best. So they fed all the rabbits poison. And all the rabbits started getting sick, 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 sick. And at the end of, I don't know how many weeks, like 6 weeks, all of a sudden they said, all right, we're going to test all the rabbits to see if they're poisoned enough. And then we're going to test the medication. And they tested group one and they said, yep, that one's poisoned. They tested group two. They said, yep, that one's poisoned. Tested group three. Yep, that one's poisoned. Tested group four. No poison. And they said, are all the rabbits the same? And they said, yes, all the rabbits are the same. They said, did you feed them all the same food? And they said, because this is ruining our experiment. We can't have, like this one, why didn't this one get poisoned? And they said, yes, we checked. We fed them, you fed them twice a day, half a cup. Everything's the same. They said, everything in the experiment was going so well. And they were trying to find a solution until the one group of rabbits didn't get poisoned. And they said, you know what? If we followed all the directions, there's only one thing that could be a difference maker. And they said that's the human beings working in the experiment. So they went and talked to the people and they said, can we watch you feed the rabbits? And they said to the other group, can we watch you feed the rabbits? And they said to group two, can we watch you and group one? And they found out that it was the same lady who always fed group four. But she would not just feed the rabbits and walk away. You know what she would do? She would pick the rabbits up. And she would love the rabbits. And she said, "Oh, you precious little rabbit." And she'd kiss it. And she'd love on it. And she'd talk to the rabbit. And you know what happened? When she loved the rabbits, the poison didn't make them sick. Come on. Are you listening to me? This is in a medical journal. When they loved the rabbits, the poison didn't make them sick. And in this world, there is so much poison in this world. There's so many times in our lives that we felt rejected, or we felt abandoned, or we felt lonely, or we felt cut off, and we believed a lie about God or whatever the situation was. Does that make sense? And all of a sudden, when we receive the love of God, the poison doesn't make us sick. The poison doesn't build up in our system. The poison doesn't destroy us anymore. The poison doesn't hurt us, because the love of God has been accepted in our lives. And what we want to do, we want to receive the love of God so that what poison? Daryl, what are you talking about? When I was your age, there was a point in my life where I decided one day, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to run away, because the devil had told me that nobody loves me and nobody cares. The devil had convinced me of this lie, that no one was loving me and nobody cared about me. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run away. And I'm going to go make my little tent in the woods, and I'll break back into the house and I'll get food. It was a terrible plan. It would have been absolutely atrocious, right? But you know what? The devil had fed me a lie. You know what broke the power of that lie? When I received the love of God. And I began to not just know in my head that God really loves me, but to know, like, God really loves me. It's one thing to read your Bible and to understand, like, you know, everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world, but it's totally different when we allow the love of God to touch our hearts. It's totally different when we allow the love of God to come in and for us to receive the kisses of God and to receive the love of God. And what does it look like to do that? Sometimes it looks like receiving prayer. Sometimes it's spending time in his presence. Sometimes it's saying, looking into the word and saying, God, I want to see you for who you really are. Do you know what this means, guys? It means that no matter what you've been through in your life, the love of God can heal and can nullify the effects of the poison. See, we can't avoid hurt in this life. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to say something. A friend at school, or a teacher, or maybe the parents get divorced and you blame it on yourself because the devil comes in and puts poison in your mind. And all of a sudden you're living a life, living out of this place where you're separated from God. But God in his great mercy, God in his great love says, no, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. I'll give you life. God just wants to put his love in you. And then all the poison, do you realize that rabbit was eating the same poison that made all the others rabbits sick? But it didn't affect this one because he knew he was loved. Isn't that what Jesus has come to do? Isn't that what Jesus has come to free us from? Some of you have been picked last for the soccer team, or you've been picked last for the football game, or you were the last one to be picked for the basketball game, and it made you feel rejected, and it made you feel cut off. It made you feel not good enough. Do you understand what I'm talking? Where all the things, the poison of the world that comes in. Sometimes as adults, we talk about the good old days. They're not really that good. They didn't have cordless drills back then. Do you remember those days? Cordless drills are from heaven, man. right? Cell phones. They didn't have cell phones. When I got a first cell phone when I was 16 years old. It was not the good old days before that. They had a, you remember a beeper? You guys don't even know what a beeper is. A beeper. Before you had a cell phone, you put this little thing on your, you know, you clicked it on your belt. And if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you called them, their number, they had a number. And then you would type in your phone number, and then that phone number would come up here, and that meant, call me back. And then you'd have to go find a phone somewhere and call them back. Those are not the good old days, bro, right? Ranch dressing was not around when our parents were growing up. That is not the good old days, right? Takis were not around when we were growing up. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a reality. There's a reality that as we have progressed, there's been a lot more poison introduced to your generation. My generation didn't grow up and take a year off school thinking that the whole world was going to die. COVID. You guys remember that? I'm sorry that that happened to you. I'm sorry. We should have protected our children much better than that. We should have founded and grounded us, rooted and grounded in the love of God, and not shown fear and said, no, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's not holding out on us. Cell phones have put internet garbage, poison, into the hands of all kinds of people. But you know what? You're gonna live. Do you know why? Because you are gonna know the love of God. And that poison is not gonna affect you. And it's not gonna make you a slave. And it's not gonna make you into a broken down person. Why? Because you know the love of God. Amen. We've got schools, man. When I was going to school, I was in school. I was in my 12th grade year of school when the first Columbine shooting happened. School shooting. You shouldn't have to grow up in a world where school shootings happen. But you know what? What the enemy's bringing in to scare you, you stand up because you know the love of God. You say, man, my friends, you know what the Bible says? Gertie, I was so excited when I heard this experiment about these rabbits, because the Bible says, you, young people, you will trample on snakes and scorpions. You will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt you. It will not come near you. There's even a verse in the Bible that says that in a time of war, 1,000 people may fall at your side, 10,000 right here at your right hand, but not you, my friend. Not you. Come on. When cell phones are damaging hundreds of thousands of kids, it's not damaging you. When the internet is bringing poison to our school districts, it's not poisoning you, because you have encountered the love of God and your heart has been established in His love. Come on. We've got a generation, I'm telling you, God loves you guys so much. He loves you guys so much. So much. But I'm telling you, if we could grab a hold of the love of God like we're going to in a minute here, we're going to respond to this tonight. We're going to bring our poison to Jesus. And we're going to allow the love of God to heal every poisonous experience, every poisonous exposure. We're going to allow the love of God to saturate us, and we're going to see that poison just leave our lives. It doesn't mean you weren't fed the same diet. Does that make sense? It still happened to you. It just doesn't affect you the same way. Why? Because the love of God is so much deeper. The love of God nullifies the effects of the poison. But I believe God wants to heal some of you tonight. of allergies? Because I'm telling you, allergies and things, they're not from Jesus. They're the results of this world, right? What is an allergy? It says, this thing is poisonous to me, right? And your body reacts to it. The Bible says, no, we're going to trample on snakes and scorpions. Those deadly poisons aren't going to harm us. I believe allergies God wants to get rid of. I believe fears and phobias, because you saw a movie that told you that God wasn't going to be there to protect you because it had some scary figures in it. God wants to heal all those areas of your heart. And I'm telling you, it's all found in the love of Jesus. It was at this camp, in this very building. I was probably sitting about right there. Third row back. Somewhere right around there. And you know what? The love of God touched my heart in a fresh, real way and set my life on a different trajectory from where it was going. When I thought nobody loved me and nobody cared, it told me that even God didn't love me. Even God didn't care. Did you see the poison that came in? And it started setting me up to be separated from God. But God, in His great mercy, broke through every experience in my life that told me I wasn't good enough. Every experience that told me that nobody loved me. Every experience that told me nobody cared about me. The love of God broke through and encountered me in that place and healed every hurt in my life. My prayer tonight is that you will know the love of God. That every place that the enemy came in and messed with you and tried to sell you a lie about God, that it would be completely crushed under the love of Jesus tonight. And you know what? You rabbits are going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I want to read this same verse in a different translation. The same one we read earlier. Where'd it go here? Here we go. The amplified version means it's louder. All right? Paul says, for this reason, hold on, let me just skip down a little bit. May He grant you, out of the riches of His glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Oh, come on, guys. God loves each and every one of you. Your personality, they're all different. You guys are so awesome. You're so loved by God. He loves the way He created you. But He wants your very personality and being to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So how do we access the love of God? Through faith. Somebody say, through faith. Through faith. Tell your neighbor, through faith. Through faith. Tell your other neighbor, hey neighbor, God loves you. And may you, having been deeply rooted, somebody say deeply rooted, deeply rooted. And securely grounded, in love. Are you ready for this? Ready for this? Don't repeat this part. It says, be fully capable of comprehending and understanding with all the saints the width, the length, the height, and the depth of His love. Fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. How good is the love of God, guys? It's amazing. It's endless. I am 41 years old and the love of God keeps smacking me in the face. I'm telling you, every day I turn a corner and there's a fresh piece of the love of God. And you know what? It gets me every time. Every time. The other day, God told me, can I tell you a secret? God told me I please him. I said, what? Oh, I just cried the whole way home. I was driving in my truck and God said, I said to the Lord, I want to do something. And God said, why? And I said, because I want to please you. And then he said, you already do. And I just cried. He loves me. He loves me. Fully capable, the height, the width, the depth of the love of God, okay? Fully experiencing that endless, amazing love, and that you may come to know. Somebody say, to know.
No.
Practically, through personal experience. Come on, he's not talking about just understand it in your brain. He's talking, I want you to experience the love of God. I want you to feel the depth of his love day after day, that the poison of this world would not attach to you. Come on. The love of God, which far surpasses mere knowledge. He wants you to experience the love of God that far surpasses mere knowledge, and that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Oh, come on. Anybody want to be completely filled and flooded with God? No lack. No lack. Somebody say, no lack.
No lack.
Why did Adam and Eve sin? Because they thought they were lacking. Well, when you are completely filled with the love of God and completely consumed and completely overwhelmed with his love, there is no lack in your heart. And you know what? Sin isn't even appealing anymore. It doesn't even draw you, because there's no empty space in you to try to fill you up. You're so full of God. Hallelujah. I want to give an opportunity tonight that if you say, Daryl, poison hit me. The devil told me some lies. I want to give an opportunity. Number one, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never said, God, I want to give you my whole life. Make me brand new. Touch me with your love. If that's you tonight, God wants to make you brand new. Number two, if you've experienced the poison of this world and you're saying, listen, I want to surrender my life and I want God to touch me. I want his amazing love to fill me. And I'm telling you, God's going to start healing bodies. There's going to be bodies that are going to be healed. There's going to be hearts that are going to be healed. There's going to be emotions that are going to be made new. You're going to find you're not allergic to things anymore. Do you know why? Because the love of God makes the poison of no effect. Come on. If you were ever touched incorrectly, and the devil told you you're worthless, or that God wasn't there to protect you, he's here to heal you. He's here to touch your heart and to fill you with real, genuine love, that there would be no lack in your life. And you would say, Jesus, I'm so full of you. I don't know where to even go from here. I'm just in love with Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm in love with him. I'm in love with his word. I'm in love with who he is. See, Jesus made a way back to a place called no lack. He says, come back to the garden. Come back to intimacy with the Father. Come back to the place of no shame, no fear, but wholeness, completeness in the depth of His love. Come on, this weekend, God wants to take you deep. He wants to take you deep. He wants to heal even the deepest places. I'm going to ask the staff. Is that what we do? Yeah, let's bring the staff. If the staff want to come up and just sort of line up along the front. Jesus is in the healing business tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God for all these amazing staff. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, right now, God, I ask, Father, that you would illuminate in our hearts those places where the poison really affected us. God, that you would show us the place, God, and we want to surrender it to you, and we want you to come in and heal it tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, just begin to minister amongst the young people here. God, begin to heal. Begin to illuminate. Begin to show, God, that you are in love with them. And we break down every voice that says that God is dangerous. We break down every lie that says that God doesn't care. We break off every lie that says that you're too broken for God to fix. And we allow the love of God to come in. If that's you tonight, you're saying, I want a touch from the love of God. I want to surrender my poison tonight. I want to ask you to make your way up here to the front. And we're going to pray, and God is going to do a mighty work in your life. If that's you, come on up right now. Right now. Come on. Thank you. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Tonight, it's not about the touch of a counselor or a specific person. It's about the touch of the love of God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. All right, staff, I just want to release you to just lay hands on these guys. We're going to ask for the touch of the love of God that heals, that heals, that heals. If you're one of the ones that says, I want to give my life to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come find me right here. I'm right here in the middle. If you're the one that says, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I never gave my life to Jesus. Come find me. The rest of you, find a place on the carpet. Okay? Jesus is going to touch your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.